Hi, this is Todd Friel, Executive Director of Fortis Institute. We have a spring matching gift campaign. It's titled No Retreat. Why? Because we're being encouraged to retreat. And the Bible tells us, don't. Stand firm. Be immovable. Fixed. And that is our determination. We are going to stand firm with your support. Right now, we have a matching gift campaign. And we would love it if you would join us as a gospel partner so we can continue to produce new podcasts, new books, biblical resources, go to more campuses, and expand our digital social media footprint. We want to reach more people with the glorious news of the gospel. We're determined to stand firm and not retreat. Will you join us right now? All gifts are doubled because it is a matching gift campaign. To learn more and to join us as a gospel partner, fortisinstitute.org/donate.
You see people bring up toxic masculinity. A lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we talk to young men about how to grow and mature in your faith. That's right, we're talking to Gen Z, and we want to encourage you guys to be a man, to be a man after God's own heart. And if you've been enjoying this show, let me encourage you to be sure to follow us on Apple, Spotify, or Amazon, and download that free Fortis Plus app to listen anytime you want. And if you're listening on Apple, we'd love for you to leave a review, or if you're on Spotify, consider tapping a star rating. All right, we're in the middle of a two-part series on what's in your heart. Today, we're going to be looking at part two from Mark chapter 7, verses 20 through 23. Let me read that passage to you. And he said, this is Jesus, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All of these things come from within, and they defile a person. Okay? So we're talking about what's in your heart. All right, fellas, as we come back to this, part two, what's in your heart, last time we looked under the hood. We cracked open the spiritual engine of our lives and realized the problem isn't the world outside of us. It's really about the war inside of us. So not the world outside, but the war going on the inside. You remember how I told you about that nice, shiny black Camry I bought when I was just 23 years old? I mean, it looked like it belonged in a commercial, and it died like it belonged in a junkyard. Or do you remember when I told you about those heart surgery patients? They had healthy smiles, but they had clogged arteries. Or about those 32,500 diapers I changed? Sometimes you got to look inside to know what's really going on. Well, today's message is the spiritual heart check, round two, because Jesus isn't done diagnosing. He's not just saying the problem's inside of you. He's saying, let me show you what's in there. And spoiler alert, it's not pretty. I mean, Jesus opens up the chest cavity of the soul and says, here's what's actually beating inside the human heart apart from grace. So if last time, part one, was what goes in versus what comes out, today's show, part two, is what's already in there needs to come out. This is the part where the great physician points to the x-ray and says, you see that dark spot? That's sin. That's pride. That's lust. That's envy. That's selfishness. So buckle up. This isn't for the faint of heart. Pun fully intended. All right. Last time we looked at number one, it's not about what goes in, but what comes out. And then we saw number two, it's not about the stomach, but the heart. So here we are on today's show looking at number three. It's not about what's without, but what's within. Again, verses 20 through 23. And what's on the inside will eventually come to the outside. I mean, look again at verse 20. He says, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. You know what that's saying? Sin doesn't start when you click the link. Sin doesn't start when you say the word. Sin doesn't even start when you lose your temper. Sin starts before all of that in your heart. And every external explosion starts with some type of internal spark. And that's why Jesus says it's what comes out that defiles you. I mean, you ever try to squeeze a tube of toothpaste and get something other than toothpaste? Not possible, because what comes out of you reveals what's inside of you. What's in the toothpaste tube is toothpaste, so that's what's going to come out, right? If gossip comes out, that means that's what's in there. Or if anger comes out, that means that's what's in there. Or if self-pity or lust or envy or arrogance comes out, it's because it's been brewing on the inside. Sin isn't an accident. It's an overflow. And that's why you can't fix sin with behavioral modification, right? Psychology does not fix the sin problem. You can try to clean up the outside, but if your heart's still toxic, you're just spraying Febreze on a dumpster fire. I mean, think about it. Jesus said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. Jesus just dropped a grenade into every false religion on the planet, because every other religion says, try harder, fix the outside, do these things, and you'll somehow be accepted by a higher power. But Jesus says, nah, the outside's not the issue. The leak's coming from the inside. Sin doesn't start when you break a rule. It starts when your heart bends toward rebellion. And sin doesn't start with your hands. It starts with your heart. So it's an inside job, a spiritual data breach from within. I mean, you ever drop a can of soda and you forget about it, and then you open up later and it explodes everywhere? Now, imagine somebody asks you, why did that soda explode? You might say, well, because I shook it. Nope. It exploded because soda was inside. I mean, if it had water in it, shaking it wouldn't have mattered, right? If you shake up a water bottle and open it, there's no pressure. So your heart's like that. People don't make you blow up. They just shake what's already inside of you. Pressure doesn't create your character. It exposes it. And so when life shakes you, you know, when traffic's slow, when your boss is unfair, when your wife critiques you, when your fantasy football team loses by 1 point again, whatever comes out in that moment was already in there. And that's what Jesus is saying in this passage, that what comes out of the mouth, your actions, your reactions, reveals the true content of your heart. I mean, it's like at the gym, you can't fake strength for long. I mean, you can wear the gloves, you can bring the pre-workout, you can grunt a little louder, but the moment you hit that bench and the bar comes down, what's in you is coming out. And if it's not muscle, then you might look like a big failure. And the same thing is happening spiritually. You can fake it through a few church services, you can post some verses online, you can even lead a small group. But when the weight of temptation drops on your chest, the truth of your heart shows up really fast. You know, maybe you could think of it as like your morning coffee. When you bump into someone while holding a cup, coffee spills out, not because they bumped you, but because coffee was inside your cup. Or if it was orange juice, it was inside that the orange juice would spill. So bro, people bump you like all the time. Rude comment, bad day, unexpected stress, and what spills out? Cynicism, anger, lust, pride, sarcasm, self-pity. I mean, whatever spills out, that's your flavor. That's what's brewing inside. And so Jesus is basically saying, stop blaming your environment, because we can be pros at that, right? My boss made me angry. No, your boss revealed you were angry. Or you could say, my girlfriend made me jealous. No, she exposed your insecurity. Or you could say, my parents made me bitter. No, they triggered what was already rooted in pride and resentment. So you don't need a new job or a new relationship or a new roommate. You need a new heart. Listen, guys, your heart is like a crock pot, not a microwave. It's slowly cooking stuff inside there all day. And eventually, when the lid rattles and the steam comes out, everyone gets a taste or a smell of what's been simmering in there. And some of us are walking around with slow cooking sin. Bitterness, lust, pride, laziness, jealousy, simmering quietly beneath the surface. You've learned how to smile through it, post through it, serve through it, even preach through it. But you can't fool Jesus. He's the one looking in the pot, and he's not impressed by your filter, and he's not tricked by your highlight reel, and he's not moved by your fake humility post that starts, "So humbled, God is using me." No, he's looking straight into the heart. And the truth is, what's really in there always finds its way out. I mean, you can try to bury it, you can attempt to disguise it, you can even try duct taping it, but it's coming out in your words and your relationships and in your choices. So you can't hold a beach ball underwater forever. Right? You ever tried doing that? You grab the ball, maybe you're at the pool or at the beach, you try to hold the beach ball down. Well, you can only like hold it for a few seconds, right? And then eventually it pops up, and usually at the worst time possible, in front of the people that you least wanted to see it. And that's why Jesus says you don't need a new behavior pattern. You need a new bloodstream, right? You need true new life in Christ. And so we just looked at, again, what's on the inside will eventually come to the outside. Now let's take a look at these six evil actions that flow from the heart. And we see this clearly in verses 21 and the beginning of 22. It says, Jesus is speaking again, "For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit." And then he continues on in a long list. But first, I just want us to take a look at six evil actions that actually flow out of your heart. So don't go away, because when you come back after the break, we're going to examine these evil actions together.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Tyson in just a moment. He's continuing his series on what's actually in the human heart. So, the young men listening, let me ask you a direct question. Where are you headed after high school? When that time of your life is over with, do you have an idea of what's next? Because if you don't have a serious plan for the next stretch of your life, somebody else is going to plan it for you, and you probably aren't going to like what they pick for you. The Masters University deserves your attention. Dr. Tyson himself is a professor there, and at the Masters University, they train young men to think biblically about absolutely everything, your career and your relationships, your own heart even. The kind of stuff that Dr. Tyson is talking about right now in this episode is the kind of stuff students are wrestling with every day in classrooms at TMU. I can't speak highly enough of the Masters University. Go to masters.edu/manhood to see exactly what I'm talking about and get the conversation started right now. And while you're out there on the internet, don't forget about downloading Fortis Plus from the App Store, whatever app store that you use most commonly, because you can go to the App Store on your smartphone, also the App Store on your smart TV, or you can just simply go to fortisplus.org. That is our distribution hub. That's how we get all of the content that we're creating out to everyone. And it's absolutely free, as is everything we produce here at Fortis Institute. It has no price tag associated because of our gospel partners. Our gospel partners are the backbone of our ministry. Go to fortisinstitute.org right now to see exactly what I'm talking about. And now let's get back to Dr. Adam Tyson. This is Way of Manhood.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood. Great to have you with us on the show today. Let me encourage you, if you are listening, to consider following the show or leave a review on Apple or give us a star rating on Spotify and share it with a brother who might need some encouragement in this area. Okay, two-part series, What's in Your Heart? We're looking at number three, the third major point here, and we're just being reminded it's not about what's without, it's about what's within. Because what's on the inside will eventually come up to the outside. We made that clear in the first part of this show. And now what we're looking at here is not only that, not only is what on the inside eventually going to come to the outside, we're now looking at six evil actions that I just read to you from Mark 7, 21 and 22. And these evil actions all flow from the heart. Jesus gives us a list, and it's not a fun one. Let's walk through it, real talk, guy to guy. Okay, number one, sexual immorality. In the Greek, it's the word porneia. That might sound familiar because that's where we get the word pornography from. It's really talking about any sexual activity outside of the covenant of marriage. You don't have to go very far before you've committed the sin of sexual immorality. That could be including any thought, any action that doesn't honor God in this area of your life. And you just can't follow Jesus and flirt with sin. I mean, every click, every fantasy, every secret chat, it's a heart issue. Not just a habit. Jesus isn't trying to kill your joy. He's trying to protect it. Young man, listen to me. He designed sex to be beautiful, powerful, and sacred, not twisted by pixels and shame. And so Jesus is identifying six evil actions that come out of your heart. Number one, sexual immorality. Number two, thefts. This just includes stealing, cheating, being lazy on the job, or using people for gain. If you're scrolling on Instagram while you're supposed to be working on company time, that's theft. I mean, that's like you're stealing time, right? If you're copying homework or cutting corners, that's theft too. God calls us to work with integrity, not bare minimum Monday energy. Number three, murders. Jesus expands this in Matthew 5, where he says that anger is the seed of murder. I mean, every time you explode on your wife, your kid, your teammate, your roommate, you're showing that your heart's still capable of violence. And murder begins with malice. So again, six things that Jesus is listing here. Number four, adultery. If you're married, protect that covenant like your life depends on it, because it does. Adultery starts way before the affair. It starts in the imagination. It starts when you scroll where you shouldn't, when you linger when you should leave, or when you text what you shouldn't type. Okay, watch out for these sins, guys. Number five, coveting. This one's sneaky. It's about comparison in disguise. You see someone else's success, their girlfriend, their car, their platform, and your heart whispers, "That should have been me." I mean, that's poison. It'll rot your joy faster than anything. And then number six in this list that Jesus gives here is just plain old wickedness. And this is really a catch-all term for every other malicious act, everything that flows from pride or from rebellion or from revenge. And so basically, Jesus is saying here in verses 20 and in this passage, so he's saying that this is, maybe you could just call this the greatest hit list of everything that wrecks men's lives. It's all right here in the heart. And so now that we've seen these six evil actions that flow from your heart, pretty surprising that that much stuff could be in there, wicked stuff in verses 21 and the beginning of 22. Jesus then moves from actions to attitudes, and then he gives us a list of six evil attitudes that flow from your heart, all in the second half of verse 22. And so Jesus is shifting again from action to attitude. These are the inward thoughts that give birth to those behaviors. So here's number one, deceit. That would be manipulation, lying, pretending, exaggerating. You can't be authentic and deceptive at the same time. So guys, if you have to lie to protect your image, then your image has become your idol. I mean, 1 Corinthians 3:18 says, "Let no one deceive himself. If anyone amongst you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise." So again, it's just saying the way that you become wise is to humble yourself, speak the truth, hold on to Christ, don't deceive yourself, and don't deceive others. The second attitude that's mentioned here in verse 22, number two is sensuality. And this is really hinting at a lack of self-control and characterizes the person who gives free play to sinful impulses. We read about it in Romans 13:13, "Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality." So again, these attitudes are things that we've got to keep in check, that they flow out of our heart. It's just in there, guys. Deceit, sensuality. Number three, envy, the evil eye. That's what envy is. It's kind of like the evil eye that resents others' blessings. When you see someone win and you roll your eyes instead of celebrating, that's envy. And envy will make you hate people that God's trying to teach from you, right? I mean, he's trying to have you teach people, and yet you're hating them, and so you're being a horrible witness. And what you should be doing is 1 Corinthians 13:4, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant. So we got to get rid of envy. That's a rotten attitude, right, in our hearts. And then number four in this list here about these evil attitudes is slander, or this is like launching verbal grenades. This is when we assassinate someone's reputation to make ourselves feel taller. Gossip is Satan's podcast. Stop subscribing. I mean, Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Number five, a fifth attitude we want to put off is pride. The heartbeat of every sin. Pride says, I don't need God. Pride says, I want to do it my way. Pride says, I don't need to listen. I already know. And that's really the belief that you're the main character of your story. Do you know what God says about pride? 1 Peter 5:5, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And then number six is foolishness, acting like you don't know better when you do. This isn't about IQ. It's about ignoring God's wisdom on purpose. And Ephesians 5:17 says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Being foolish is doing anything that contradicts God's word and thinking you know what's up when you really need to look at God's word and you need to look up and to see him on all of his grandeur and all of his holiness. And so these six actions and six attitudes are things that come out of our heart. And that's what verse 23 kind of gets to as we sum it up here. It's what's within is what defiles us, because Jesus says all these evil things come from within and they defile a person. Translation, sin isn't imported, it's manufactured in-house. And that's why repentance isn't just about cleaning the outside, it's about surrendering the inside. Because your heart isn't a garden, it's a battlefield. And if you don't fight what's in there, it will take you down from the inside out. I mean, imagine your heart like an app running in the background. If you don't check it, update it, or close out the junk, it starts draining your battery quietly and constantly. And next thing you know, you're out of power, wondering what happened. Well, that's sin. That doesn't always announce itself. It just drains you slowly until you crash. But the gospel is the divine reset, the heart factory recall. And Jesus says, I'm not here to upgrade your old heart. I'm here to replace it. And so as we conclude these thoughts, we could think about some serious spiritual heart surgery, right? This is where we land. Jesus has taken us from the surface level religion to soul level reality. And he's shown us that sin isn't something you step in. It's something you're soaked in. And you can't fix it by wiping the surface. So young man, this is the moment you stop pretending you're fine. You stop living like your heart's just a little off. You stop managing your sin and you start mortifying it. Because the scariest thing about sin is how normal it starts to feel. You can live with bitterness so long you call it boundaries. You can live with lust so long you call it a struggle. You can live with pride so long you call it confidence or moxie. But Jesus looks deeper and says, that's infection, that's decay, and I love you too much to let it stay. And some of you have been working hard to keep the outside together, hitting the gym, staying busy, looking strong. But spiritually, you know what you're doing? You're bleeding out. You've been ignoring the internal chest pains, the dull ache of conviction, the spiritual shortness of breath that says something's not right. So listen, this isn't condemnation, this is invitation. The great physician doesn't just point out your heart disease, he offers you a transplant. He'll take that stone heart that loves sin and give you a new one that beats for righteousness. And so what should you do? You should confess it. Be brutally honest before God. No filters, no fluff. Say, Lord, here's what's actually in my heart. And then you should repent of it. Turn from it. Don't pet it. Don't excuse it. Don't label it my personality. Kill it. And then what do? You replace it. You fill that space with scripture and worship and community and accountability. And you can't fight sin in isolation. You need brothers who will call you out, pray you up, and keep you grounded. So if you want to see what's in your heart, look at what comes out when you're tired, when you're stressed, when you're disappointed, when you're tempted. That's the real you. But if you belong to Jesus, you don't have to stay that way, because Jesus didn't just die to forgive your sins. He died to transform your heart. So young men, guard your heart, because it's the command center of your life. Feed it truth, not trash. Surround it with brothers, not bad influences, and train it in righteousness like you train your body in the gym. Let me pray for you that God would help you guard your heart. Whatever it is, bring it to the one who can clean it, heal it, and make it new. Because when Jesus changes your heart, he changes everything about you. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this show, reminding us that what's going on in our hearts is what really matters to you. So God, help us to examine our actions, but help us to also examine our attitude. And may we come clean, and may we come to Christ, and may you regenerate our hearts if we're not truly saved. And if we are saved, may you grant us repentance in all of these areas so that we can grow to be men of God who would honor you with every day that you give us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.